have successfully landed upon Inspired Artist Podcast with me, Sergun Kaur, and today Andy Flax is my guest. We are going to be doing a mini tour beginning Friday, October 18th in the Northeast. So that Friday the 18th, we will be in Portsmouth, Rhode Island, followed by a gig Sunday the 20th in Fairfield, Connecticut, followed by a gig Thursday the 24th of October in Northport, New York, on Long Island. And then Saturday, October 26th is Fall Fest in Millis, Massachusetts, and she will be my guest vocalist for that. All the other gigs are joint shows, we're collaborating. And Sunday the 27th, I will be doing my Sensitive Superhero Workshop at the Millis Ashram, Yoga at the Ashram. So stay tuned for that. We're gonna chat about it. We're gonna chat about other things. This is it. Here we go.
You can send my medal to 20 Cherry Street, Newport, Rhode Island, 02840.
If only they gave awards for such things.
What's that?
If only they gave awards for such things. My college music teacher was writing something on a board once, and he was like, "Victory!" He said, "If all such events were considered victorious, you are on the way to high self-esteem."
Well, I hope that's true.
On your way.
Step by step.
Cool. So hello. Welcome to Inspired Artist Podcast, behind the scenes, video edition.
So excited.
Yeah. So Andy, you've had quite the month, sounds like.
I have, yes. Definitely. Life has been kicking my butt a little bit.
It looks like it's ripped your sweatshirt.
It totally did. There was a bit of a tug of war, but you know, I did walk away with most of it, so it's good. Cool. It's still pretty warm here in New England, so you know,
That's good news.
Yeah. So we have clothes such as these, which allow, you know, the draft when the weather is so bipolar. Mm-hmm. You never know. We like to layer here.
Yeah, I'm going to be there I'm actually leaving tomorrow, so I'll be there very soon. And I was looking at the weather forecast and I was thinking how many long sleeve shirts I don't have.
Well, we have some on the East Coast you can borrow. So.
Or buy, as it were.
You're all
buy, yeah. That's true.
Where are you flying into again?
So I'm going to Charlotte first, okay. Not for a gig, but to this little retreat that Gary is having. And then after that weekend, I fly into Newark.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Next week. Yay. Yeah. We're ready for ya. I'm ready for some, you know, I've been approaching, my approach to life has been, you know, I honestly, to be perfectly honest, I haven't really been playing a lot of music because I've been, you know, moving and sort of engaged in all these other things. And there's this sort of duality, you know, that's like, I should be doing this, I should be doing this, I should be doing this, I'm a musician, I should be doing this. But what ends up happening in my meditations and in my practices and just like when I'm present in my life is that the whole of it turns into the music. Right? And the last month has been in a minor key. A lot of turbulence, you know, a lot of that tension, you know.
I have a song lyric that starts like that. Yeah. It's called The Music of Letting Go is in a Minor Key to Start.
Yep. That is perfect. So there you go. So my life has kind of been the song, and now the tension's kind of releasing, you know, it's resolving and things are becoming more settled, and now I can be engaged in the actual act of playing music more, which is the purpose of all of this is you know, to find that sense of balance, I think. And that's the season for it in Libra season right now, where we can work and play in equal measure.
Uh-huh. Oh, of course it's Libra season. Yes, it was my birthday. I am a Libra.
It was. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And then it was Heidi Munder's birthday 2 days ago. So we're all about Libras here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Libra rising.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
Got some leadership. Yeah. I'm like not in the club, but I have like a weekly guest pass where I can come in.
Right. I like that.
Yeah. This is so exciting. This is my first podcast ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
I'm a podcast virgin.
All right. Well, I won't take that down.
It's a PG podcast.
That could go down. We'll just keep going from here. I'm taking your podcast virginity, but so we are doing 4 events.
Yes, we are. I'm very excited.
On the East Coast, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Actually, the first time since I played music with Seth Darshan in 2011, that I've done music on the East Coast outside of Sentinel Fest. So that will be fun.
That is amazing. And I'm so honored to be singing with you.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you orchestrated it. And it would not have happened had we not been roommates probably at Sentinel Fest.
Yeah.
How did you feel about being in the dorm?
Oh, you know, it's interesting because I am kind of I enjoy my own company and I am kind of a lone wolf a lot of the time. You know, I choose to kind of be with my own fairies, I guess. And I'm often when I'm going into a situation like that, there's always sort of this little feeling, I guess, of anxiety, like, oh, there's going to be people around all the time. And am I going to be able to sleep? And am I going to be able to, you know, and it's all just kind of a mind dance, yeah. You know, and then you get there and it's always just so much fun to be like in community like that with other, you know, like-minded people. And we had some good conversations.
Yeah. That was excellent.
Like sleepaway camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like a slumber party. It was really fun. But my first thought was like, oh my God, they're putting me in a dorm.
Don't they know who I am? I'm in a dorm.
That did cross my mind. I did have this whole ego trip that was like, well, how many other of the performers are they putting in this dorm?
Go ahead.
Well, no, so that was a cool experience for me to talk myself, you know, off that cliff, off that ledge, and just kind of surrender to this situation that was going to be what it was going to be. And I had the best time. I would not have chosen a different situation.
Oh, yeah. Me either.
Yeah.
Me either. And you know, it's to add to that comment about sleeping in community or just being in a dorm, it's, you know, I spent a really long time as a closet musician, you know, like I would sing
played
out
in
like
a lot of closets.
Yeah, just played in a lot of closets around, you know, the States and sometimes overseas. We should actually be doing this podcast.
Sometimes I didn't know where I was because
exactly,
it was so dark.
in closets. I should actually release an album in closets or out of the closet or something.
Yeah.
Although I feel like that term has been used for other more important reasons. But you know, I was like, speaking of being a lone wolf, you know, it produced a lot of anxiety for me to play and collaborate with other musicians for a really long time, you know, and I would find the most amazing ways to self-sabotage, like every opportunity that I did have, you know, to collaborate with other people. Cause I think it was deep ingrained fear, you know, of not being good enough or of being judged or of, you know, I am classically trained in music, but I let a lot of that theory kind of go out the window because I felt like it really stifled me for a long time. So getting back and playing with people who do have that under their belt, you know, it makes me feel kind of insecure, you know, like I'm not going to be able to communicate or they're not going to think I'm good enough or they're not going to be able to whatever. And it's interesting, you know, that Sentinel Fest did choose to put most of the artists in dorm housing because music is about that, you know, it's about community, mm-hmm. and it's about collaboration. And it's not about sleeping by yourself. It's about engaging with your fellow musicians and developing a connection and the artistry and and everything that comes with that. And then bringing the people present and singing at a chant concert or any musical event, like into the whole energy of it also. And you can't do that alone in a closet or, you know, in your,
That just made me think of, you know, Damien Rice.
Yes.
His first album he recorded in his bathroom. So it can be done, but yeah, it's way cooler to collaborate. I was thinking actually most of what I do now is collaboration. Everything that I do right now is collaboration, which is pretty cool. But I had the same fear. Mine was like, why would other musicians want to play music with me?
Yeah, you know? that's the same as the,
so like the fear of asking, you know, because like I couldn't pay them enough, or it wasn't going to be exciting enough, or I wouldn't draw the crowd that they were expecting, or, you know, all those crazy things that go through your mind, which I think a lot of musicians contend with, and maybe we forget about, or we get over and then forget about. But yeah, as you do it, it becomes a non-issue, obviously, because there's plenty of people that want to play music with you, and there's
it has been an interesting process. And I think one of the wonderful things about having Sacred Chant concerts, which is what the events that we will be having here on the East Coast together, is everyone sings with us, right? And mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much, you know, people who say they're musicians or are professional musicians, you know, that's what we're talking about right now, you know, is the fear that goes along with that. But music is everyone's birthright. You know, it really, to sing is everyone's birthright. You know, birds sing for no reason other than pleasure. And I feel like we are the same way. We have the same capacity. And I feel like there's a lot of that same fear and just, I don't, for lack of a better term, like regular everyday people, you know, who don't label themselves or consider themselves musicians. I've heard so many people say, I wish I had your voice, or I wish I could sing, or I wish I could do this, or I wish I could. And these kinds of events and these kinds of collaborations promote the safe space for people to be able to come out and get over those fears and just sing, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of let loose and sing in their own key in a group. And that's one of the reasons I really love doing them and why this practice and this path has been so really instrumental to my own becoming as a singer and as an artist. And it just, I'm very honored to be able to, you know, continue to create these opportunities for people and for connection and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very, I feel so blessed to, mm-hmm. to just know about this. 'Cause there was a time when I didn't even realize people did this, that this was even a thing. And to just know that it exists is amazing. And you're like a small percentage of the human population that realizes that this is available, you know, that this sort of nighttime event that doesn't revolve around getting you know, 'cause like when you go out in other situations, I feel like there's an expectation of being seen in a certain way or getting attention from the same or opposite sex, you know, from other people. It becomes a lot more loaded of an event. And this is just simply like, come, chant, don't chant, you know.
Rock back and forth.
No one's expecting you to be any particular way. And yeah. It's very free.
And I think it's cool to the people in our community, you know, who do these things. Like it was cool the way that we ended up collaborating at the festival, because it was just like, 'cause I have been listening to your music for years, you know, when I first started practicing. So you're up on this little, like, I was a little bit, when I found out that you were going to be in the dorm, I was like, Sergen's in the dorm. I was like, oh. You know, it happened so.
You would have signed my petition had I.
So it was cool because it kind of happened so casually. It was just like, oh, do you want to? I'm singing for you know, Karina Virginia's class. Would you like to sing? And it was kind of like, oh, you know, we had a little rehearsal, and then the magic kind of happened. And
yeah.
And there's a disillusion, I think, of the ego, because you're a person, I'm a person, everyone who plays music, the artists we look up to, everyone is right. a person, you know, and the teachers in this community and the people who do this kind of work are people, and everyone's kind of on the same level in situations mm-hmm. like this. And I like that. And it provides an opportunity for those kind of like shifting of those mental thought patterns. Like, I could always talk to you. I could always sing with you. I could always collaborate with you, you know?
Right.
But it's the ego fear thing, I think. And that's what things like this help to.
Ever heard your music live. I have not heard your recordings because I use Spotify.
We're going to talk about the Spotify.
I so want to, because I have a feeling that I'm really going to like them, and I would love to add some to my playlists that I create. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
This is Sergen's very polite way of saying, Andy, you have to join the rest of the world in technology. So that's a whole other kind of collaboration or community, right? It's joining the Spotify ranks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'll do it.
Yeah. I love that mechanism. It's just, it feels so Aquarian. It's like, I mean, they do a little bit of promotion, and there is some, you know, there is some like elitism. Is that a word? Yeah.
Yeah.
Elitism in, you know, what they showcase on their front page or whatever, but for all intents and purposes, anyone on that platform could be doing amazingly, and, you know, at least numerically, and it is all peer to peer, you know, it's like, you make a playlist and two people listen to it. You make a playlist and 90,000 people listen to it, you know, and then suddenly there's this woman who has this playlist, and she keeps putting my new tracks like at the top of her playlist. And it's the most listened to new age playlist. That's not an official Spotify playlist. Which is amazing. So she's created this playlist that is, you know, and she's pronounced Inara. But she's a person, you know, she just happens to love music. She's not a record label or a marketing firm or anything like that. She just created this playlist that people listen to. So I think it's a brilliant platform, and I feel like we're gonna see a lot more of that sort of thing happening. Because Apple Music is similar, but it doesn't have the sharing capacity.
Hmm.
You can't create your own public playlist that I'm aware of. Let me know if I'm wrong, if you're listening to this and it's changed, because maybe it has, but that's my understanding.
Yeah. Are we live right now?
Oh no, we're not live. No.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah. So what's going to happen is I record this. I don't edit it. I'll put a little thing in the front to say like what we talked about and our tour schedule and stuff like that, with some music, and I'll edit it in that way. I'll add some little interlude music and stuff. But no, this is like conversations that we would have privately, but public.
Also very Aquarian.
Exactly.
No secrets, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. So we are in the new age of musical interviews.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I get so inspired. Like, that Sutton Fest was so cool for me. I got so inspired by all the conversations that I had with people. And that ended up being most of what I did, was just sitting at tables and having amazing conversations with people. I was thinking, you know, people really resonate with like Guru Ganesh's music, Hansu Jodh's music, Sanatana's music. Wouldn't it be cool to hear them talk about their life in a way that's like a normal conversation and not, you know, geared towards, I don't know, promoting their album or, you know.
Yeah. Conversations in a dorm room.
Yes. Exactly.
Your new podcast title. But they but they could only be really recorded in dorm rooms.
Yeah.
Adding another dimension.
Or you could pretend
that you're in a dorm room. Okay, we're in a dorm room. 3,000 miles apart.
Yes. Each in big our dorm own room. Dorm room. Mine has a green screen behind me. Actually, I could totally, if I knew how to do it, I don't because this is my husband's green screen. If I knew how to do that, I could totally make it look like I was in a dorm room right now. That'd be pretty cool.
There, so he has different backdrops?
Well, he does live streams on YouTube and he uses some sort of software that, you know, he can change the, I think he actually just projects his computer screen behind him. So, cause he's like talking about stuff on his computer.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's in the cryptocurrency world. So I don't have too many, I don't have much of a pulse on it.
And that's another podcast.
Yeah. Yes, totally. So, which we're not doing today. So yes. So we're doing, let's see, we're going to be at, the first one is in Providence.
Like the first one is in Portsmouth, Rhode Island.
Okay. Portsmouth.
Which is on Aquidneck Island at 10th Gate Yoga Center.
And Portsmouth is near Providence. It has to be. Rhode Island is.
Portsmouth is about 35 minutes away from Providence. It's on Aquidneck Island, which is the same island that encompasses Newport, which is where I live.
Okay.
So this is my stopping ground. And this is where I did my Kundalini teacher training. It's my home studio. So it's always really special to go back and hold these events there and sing with the community. And we are extremely excited to receive you here. So
yeah, I'm excited to go back because, you know, I went to school in Providence. I went to university in Providence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never done a concert in Providence. Oh, no, you know what? When I was a singer-songwriter, I used to play at a bunch of Borders, and I've actually played at Borders Bookstore in Providence.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But in terms of chant music, this will be my first. Yeah.
Yeah, we have the community here, people who are resonate with chanting. The community's really grown in this area in the last, you know, 7-8 years that I've been involved in it, and it's been really cool to watch to be a part of. Yeah. So
how often do you perform there?
You know, not actually as often as I should or would like to. Yeah. Really just a few times a year.
Oh, okay. Sometimes that can be good. People can get a little saturated, I think, if you go too many.
Yeah. And I think for me also, like, it's hard to, if we want to talk about like being a musician and the balance that you have to create between like the business and the promoting and then the mm-hmm. being in dorm rooms with musicians at festivals, which is like the stuff that I live for. You know, for me, I did quite a bit of traveling when I was younger, like in my like late teens, early 20s, you know, I backpacked for years and ended up very randomly in this place. And I'm at a point where like the touring musician sort of living in a bus, like for most of the year and doing all that, like it sounds really fun in theory and I could take it, you know, for short stints of time, but I've kind of chosen a lifestyle. I like to have my home base, you know, and to be able to be at home and I haven't really quite figured out how to make music like the main source of income, how to do that. So I have a lot of other things that I'm interested in that I do that are lucrative, that, you know, kind of pay my rent. And there's pros and cons to that, because for me, it ends up, I don't have as much time, you know, to do these things is a con, but the pro is that I don't have to focus as much as it being a support for me. Like I can focus more on the actual music when I'm doing it than I have to focus on like, oh God, like if this many people don't come to this and pay this much for tickets, then I can pay. So, you know, I it's interesting because I haven't talked to a lot of, because you have kind of struck a balance in that world with the home base and the family, and, or would you like I shouldn't speak for you. Sorry. Would you like to elaborate?
Why, thank you, Andy. Yes, I will.
Yes, I
Well, yeah, I would say that, you know, being that I'm in a relationship and we have dual income, it makes a difference, you know, in that regard, because up until this year, my husband had like an actual 9-to-5 job. And, you know, he quit that and now he's doing something else, which is, you know, his passion and he's doing well in it. But it does seem to sort of, you know, like 1 month I may be the earner and the next month he may be, you know, it sort of
right.
goes back and forth. But yeah, I think you touched on something really important, because when you're doing music for money, that really changes it. I've never done music for money. Like, it's never been, oh my God, if I don't sell out this concert or if this album doesn't recoup in 2 months or whatever it is, I'm not gonna be able to do it anymore, or, you know, something like that. It's never been dire. It was a hobby for a long time, especially while I was, you know, being mother to tiny people.
Mm-hmm.
And then just recently, it's sort of through the recording, you know, aspect of it. Thanks in large part to Spotify.
Okay, I get it.
That, you know, that it's become more of a steady source, which I'm grateful for. But also, I do other things. So I do, you know, the spiritual coaching, which is turned out to be this wonderful, you know, passion that I have that also is, you know, a business. So, I don't think you need to just do music in order to feel like a musician or like a successful one.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
But it definitely, you know, because I went from being a closet musician, right, to kind of finding this way and having this path and doing a crowdfunding campaign and recording a CD and releasing it. And it was, you know, a lot of that was not a very fun process, like birthing mm-hmm. the creative part of it and actually birthing the process and mm-hmm. working with Peter Sangat Singh, who is an amazing producer. If anybody wants to record, he is located in Vermont. He's wonderful. He can work remotely with you wherever you are. But it's... it went from kind of zero to whatever speed fast uh-huh. into, oh, like I have this product now, I have to sell it. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to. And, it wasn't, I don't want to say ruined the experience, but it definitely took away a lot of the joy
yeah.
of it for me. Yeah. And I sort of decided that, you know, of course I want to still do this. It is a calling for me. It is like a gift I've been given that I feel compelled to share. But it definitely, I guess I'm talking about this because this is a balance that I'm kind of, you know, teetering on this in Libra season and giving a lot of thought, like, mm-hmm. how can I structure my life to be able to do more of this? And I feel like this is true of most or all artists in their life, unless they're, you know, very privileged and come from mm-hmm. money or...
Yeah. But even then, like, do you imagine sometimes, cause I was in a course last year all about spiritual business, and it was about sort of imagining, like, you know, what your life would look like if you had all the money that, you know, and I was thinking, like, man, if I had no, you know, reason to bring in income, you know, if like I could just jet set all over the world and stay at the nicest hotels and what, like, if that were my reality right now, I might not be as compelled to make music. That might not be the best, you know, obviously it's not the best foundation for me currently because that's not my reality. But, you know, I think about that. It's like, if I feel like I kind of need to make music, not because I need the money, but like I have the space for it. Cause if I had millions of dollars, it'd be like, I'd sort of have to be convincing myself that you know, like I'd be having the opposite conversation. Like, why, you know, do you really need to do this? You don't need the money. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it wouldn't matter as much too, you know?
Yeah. And I know I find in other kinds of meat, like, in addition to the sacred chant, you know, I write my own songs and I like to be a lyricist and I like to talk about situations in my life that probably wouldn't be happening if I wasn't living, you know, a variety mm-hmm. of different situations. Like it always makes a good story. And I'm a storyteller. And like I said before, it's all the music of the soul, I think, that we're acting out all the time. So, mm-hmm. so yeah, it's good. I'm on a tangent.
The whole thing is a tangent. Mm. This is a tangential conversation.
Tangential. Is that a Sergen word?
Tangential? Oh, tangential is odd. That's an awesome word. Tangential. I like that.
Tangential.
It's like a tangent that's gentle. Gentle. Let tangential. Me gently tangent this.
Yeah, I like
I
it.
Like that. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Good going. Let's add that into the Sergen dictionary.
All right. We'll do that.
New age.
Oh, right. Cause I told you I like to make up words. Yeah. Yes. No, my things that I make up are like for my kids, like I'll call them like the most random stuff. Like, hey, pickle sandwich or porcupine pickle. Or
So is there going to be a new Sergen album? For kids called Pickle Sandwich.
Yeah, I do have a killer sitting down song. That's
is it recorded for all the parents out there who need it? Okay. So so I need to get on Spotify and you need to get on this sitting
down, I think. It's called Sit Your Little Booty Down.
Nice. So that first event in Portsmouth is the
kickoff.
This in front of me. It's the kickoff. It's Friday.
I'll put all this in the podcast. We don't have to be so official, but I'll pull it up here anyway. Let's see.
The 18th. Yes, it is. It's Friday the 18th.
6 p.m. And then what do we have? Then the Sunday gig in Fairfield, which is fun because that's like the first yoga studio I ever practiced at when I lived.
So that's actually, okay. I'm realizing that's kind of funny because we're sort of at my, we're on my stomping ground and then we're on yours.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That was when I came back from traveling and I decided I needed to start doing some yoga. And then I found Yoga for Everybody, which was, you know, like 10 minutes away from my parents' house. So really cute little studio.
Yeah, it's really, I've played there several times and they're always amazing. So we look forward to going there. And we'll be with Ezra and Owen Landis,
the
cosmos of awesomeness. Ezra will be on guitar and Owen will be on percussion. So they're always really, really fun to play with.
Know them from this world or do you know them like from the way back? Like
No, just from this world. And in the last few years, we ended up, a friend of ours actually made a musical yoga class happen in Boston. And she suggested that we team up, which we did. And it was a very spontaneous thing. You know, we hadn't really rehearsed or anything. We just kind of came and met beforehand for a few minutes and then played this class and we had a really good time. And it was interesting because I actually saw a Jai Jagdish concert in Boston when she was playing with them and I thought that they were really amazing.
Oh, cool.
And I thought, and this was when I was still kind of in the closet and really afraid to be with people. And I was like, that would be so cool to play with a band, you know? And I ended up, you know, a few years later, it ends up, you know, coming to fruition. And Owen actually reached out to me a couple of months after that initial meeting where we played together. And he said, you know, we really had so much fun playing with you. We'd love to make it a more regular thing. And let us know if you'd be interested. And I was just like, really kind of beside myself about it. I was like, they want to play with me?
Like, yeah, that's so cool.
And I still honestly feel that way. Whenever I do get to play with them. So
yeah, they're awesome. I haven't played with Owen since I think it was my second winter solstice. I met he and his wife and his daughter at the time, because now I think he has two.
Daughter at the time, like she's not anymore.
his only daughter at the time. Yeah.
he has a son now named Tobin who is like three and cuts potatoes and his motor skills are ridiculous and they're like an alien family. So yeah.
Well, they were doing the elimination communication thing with their daughter. And I remember I had sort of been contemplating doing that. And then after seeing this, I was like, no way in hell am I doing that. Which may have been an unfair assessment for those of you who have done this successfully. But I remember one night she was so mad. I think it was because Owen had woke. Oh no, the mom, Siri Pritam?
Sat Pritam, yeah.
Sat Pritam had gotten up for sadhana. And so when the daughter woke up, I think this is it. They can correct me. When the daughter woke up, she was so pissed, like an animal. She literally pissed everywhere, like all over their stuff. And so the next day they had to take everything to the laundromat and they were tenting, I don't know. There's some reason this like stuck in my head. Like I really love diapers.
Yeah. That's a hardcore path to take.
Yeah.
And too, like with being people who travel in our way and like are kind of more living they have their home base, but living the musician life too. I think that is a huge undertaking to have.
Do they travel with their kids a lot?
Do what?
They travel with their kids a lot.
You know, I don't think they do that much anymore. No. Or if they did, I don't feel comfortable speaking for them saying like a lot. That would be a conversation that we'd have to have with them.
We'll get them on. I almost had Ezra on this podcast. We could still do it. But it was like a few weeks ago and he was in Germany with Jai Jagdish. And I think I got the time zone wrong or he did. So we sort
of missed
each other. Yeah.
Another time.
Yeah. But Ezra travels
a lot. Owen is more located at home because of the kids and his family life. And that's an interesting thing to discuss too. Here's two brothers, like twins, shared a room, both really passionate about music. One's kind of off living the traveling musician life and the other one has, his family and his kids and he's still playing. So it takes on, there's many different stories, many different faces of how.
And fun fact, did you see the Mantra movie?
No.
Oh, it's so good. And apparently it's streaming on Amazon, so you can watch it for free.
Oh, I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah,
thank you.
Mantra, Sounds into Silence. I got to see a screening of it, and Owen is in that movie playing with Cece White, who is the first person I ever sang with. So
that is exciting.
Very cool, yeah. So I was like, whoa, that's so cool. And so it's kind of like they're both in the movie because maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know how to tell them apart. That's what Ezra said. I feel comfortable saying that. It's like, so it's sort of like you saw me.
That's hysterical. Yeah. They're so gracious too. Like they're so, like, I can't even count the times the number of people have been like, oh my God, are you guys twins? Like seven times a day. And they're always so gracious and just, and I'm rolling my eyes. I've heard it maybe four times that day already and it's not my reality. And I'm rolling my eyes, like wanting to answer sarcastically, and they're just so like, they're so patient and kind. Like my dark streak comes out.
Honestly, that must be like a better reaction though than like, oh, I can't tell you guys apart.
Yeah.
Cause that I feel like would be, I know twins, one pair that I'm thinking where people are just like, I can't tell you guys apart. I'm not even going to bother. they're sort of like, okay.
Like we're individuals.
My mom is a twin.
Really?
Yeah. I always felt like I had a special sense or maybe just kind of an interest in being able to tell twins apart. Cause just hearing from her, I felt like that was an important thing.
Is she an identical twin?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I can't imagine.
No, she says it's like being born married.
Oh, wow. I've never heard it described that way before.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know if that's everyone's experience, but that's hers. That was hers. And she divorced her twin. So it was
very much like modern marriage, I suppose.
Like they don't speak anymore? Like they had a falling
out?
No,
I've actually never met her.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Some are attached at the hip, some are divorced.
Exactly. So, yeah, they have a nice, it seems like they have a nice relationship, Ezra and Owen. And
yes, they do.
Have a third brother who plays bass. So they're like a whole handsome
and the mother
band.
And their mother sings. Yeah. So yeah, they have a Owen and her mother and their mother play in another band. And they do really cool cover songs. So they have kind of, aww, they have a cool family. Yeah.
That's so cute.
It is. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So I didn't realize until Owen told me this Ezra told me this last at NAMMFest, that they actually came into this through a Jeep. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So they had known her as homeschoolers when they were growing up. Pretty cool.
Yeah. They go way back.
Yeah. Yeah. So
way back.
Glad she brought them in, introduced them to all this. Yeah.
And they play a lot. They play with a lot of different artists.
Yeah. With pretty much everyone when they're at the festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. So after, I think the thread of this conversation, we can just keep talking about. So we have two more things that we're doing. So the third thing is Kundalini Yoga Long Island.
Yes.
I've done before and I love, although I haven't done a kirtan there, I've done two workshops. Love that community.
They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. They're so welcoming and they're just so excited. And we also have our guest bassist, Jack White. I was wondering if we had this conversation. This might be the first time you're knowing of this.
Oh, I feel like you guys were talking about this in the text thread.
Yeah. It's like, surprise, Felisa. Surprise. This is happening live. You guys tuning in.
Jack
surprise.
White. Is that not the name of the musician from the
White
Stripes?
Oh my God. Yes, you're right. No, that is not his name. His name is Jack Knight.
That is a very special guest.
We have a very special guest.
Amazingly special guest.
Yeah, the guy
who will also be joined by guest vocalist Taylor Swift.
Who has a house in Rhode Island. So I'll just go over and knock on
her. Does she really?
She does, yeah.
That's hilarious.
But, you know, Jack Knight, who is also fairly new to this whole the whole, you know, kirtan sacred chant world. And him and his wife, he's a really, really great bassist and his wife is a singer and they're part of the whole Long Island community. And we're staying with them also that night.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So
they have a rainbow dog named Gabby that you will adore. So yeah, we're bringing him in and he's excited. So there's more cool stories of cool spontaneous collaborations.
Love that. I love having a bass player. It's like that luxury instrument. I feel like it's like,
mm-hmm,
you really want it, but you can sort of do without it. So, you know, but oh, it's so nice to have it there. So yeah, it's really awesome.
Yeah. When you have it, it really pulls you with them.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked playing with Guru Sangit actually at Satnam Fest. He's such an awesome bass player. Yeah.
Yeah, he's an awesome bass player. He's an awesome everything. He's mm-hmm. just like an all-around top-notch guy. I love working with him.
Well, it's funny because Tripp told me I needed a guitarist because Ezra couldn't play for a couple of things that I was doing because he was so over, you know, booked. And so Tripp, who played percussion with me at Sundance and who plays with everyone as well, he mentioned that Guru Sangit plays really good guitar. He's like a really good guitar player. And so when Guru Sangit was like playing guitar, he's like, I pretty much just play bass on guitar. Like I pretty much just, you know, like he really likes to lay down the, you know, the
foundation. The
foundation. Yeah, exactly. So, but it wasn't,
which is interesting for him too, because he's a Pisces. So, you know, Pisces is like the whole urge to merge thing. So the container and the foundation.
I don't know anything about astrology, Andy.
You do though. You just don't, you do because you're living it. You just don't have the language.
Yeah.
You are stardust.
That'd be a great cover song to do.
You Are Stardust?
Well, the Dawn, the Age of Aquarius. So Mata Munder Singh did a version of that one from Hair. Yeah.
That's really funny because I was going to suggest that maybe we do that at one of these.
Yeah. Oh, let's do it. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
So we have our work out for us on our rehearsal on the 17th.
Yeah. But given everything seems very manageable, given that I'm not traveling with any tiny appendages.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, we have a fun video shoot too on the 19th.
Yes. So we can talk about this. It's not a secret, right? Okay.
It doesn't. Well, I mean, it can. Should it be? I don't know.
No, I think. No.
Okay.
No, I just want to make sure. Okay. So we had this idea to do this spoof on The Boy Is Mine. Like, yes. The gig is mine. And pretend we're like these Kirtan divas arguing over a gig, and then we decide at the end to do it together. But we don't have a track for it.
No, we don't. That was one of the, I was going to actually, it's fine.
Or lyrics. So let's see how that goes.
I love how unofficial this is, because I was like, oh, there's all these things that we need to like actually discuss as far as like practical things for like the upcoming couple of weeks. Yeah. And I was thinking, okay, it's going to be all official. What can I say and what can't I say? It's very interesting, Sergen.
No, I've taken a very unserious approach to life, and it's working out really well. Yeah. So this podcast was not my idea. My teacher, Gary, whose retreat I'm going to before this little tour. I told him, I was like, oh, I'd really love to do this podcast where, like, you know, a bunch of us talk about the work you're doing and whatever. And he emails me back and he's like, I have a different idea for you. How about you do a podcast where you interview spiritual musicians? And, you know, it's that whole thing of like, you can't do that. Like, who's going to want to talk to me? You know, I don't know that I even thought that specifically, but for some reason I was resistant to it. And it took me like a day. And finally, after mentioning it to my husband and my sister-in-law, and they were both like, oh my gosh, that's such a great idea. Of course you should do that. I was like, this does make a ton more sense than the podcast I wanted to do. It's a little bit more relevant to, you know, what I'm actually interested in, what I actually do. So yeah. So anyway, but his podcasts are very mellow, and I love that format because I love listening to it. I love hearing, you know, people actually talk like they would, in real life. So yeah.
So this is us, planning our video shoot and talking about laying down lyrics for a track live on Zoom.
I mean, the mega fans are just gonna go nuts over this, Andy.
Oh, absolutely.
it's like watching one of those behind the movie. Is that behind the scenes, you know, on the movie?
Yeah.
Thing. The bloopers.
Watch as they pull an entire set of awesomeness out of thin air right in front of your eyes.
I make no promises.
Hi, Menon.
What?
I don't know.
It was pretty. Oh, yeah. So that's our, oh, and then final thing, which you're going to join me for, is Millis Yoga Festival, the Fall Fest.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I got to play last year. I was the featured artist last year, so that was really exciting. And it's just really cool to be able to be up there again with you.
Yeah. So I've never been. So why don't you tell me about this festival, like what it's like, what people can expect, because they've been wanting me to talk about it and I've never been. So it would be interesting to hear it.
Well, it's
your perspective.
It's a yoga festival. But it's a one-day yoga festival, and it's just the Millis Ashram is a really beautiful space. They take impeccable care of it. It has a really wonderful vibration. There's a lot that goes on there. You know, Sanatam does her Voice of the Soul course there once a year, so people come, you know, for 10 days, and there's a lot of chanting.
So that's where you did it.
Because you did that, right? The Voice of the Soul.
Yeah, a couple of years I was lucky enough to get to go, which was amazing. So, you know, you arrive on the property and it's just kind of like, doesn't matter what had happened that week. Like it's a sigh of relief when you get to the Mills Ashram. It really is. So it's a whole day of that, you know, and there's yoga and there's really, really yummy food and community. And there's usually a bazaar set up so you can do a little bit of shopping, get some new yoga clothes, purchase some new music. Except for we don't do that anymore because we all have Spotify.
People still buy CDs, I think.
I mean, yeah.
They like it as like memento, I think.
Yeah. Just to like have something to hold in your hand, I think is really nice. But yeah, so it's just a really nice, relaxing day of community where you can study yoga and sing with.
Is it one track or are there many simultaneous things going on?
There's usually just one tent set up. So everything, all the events, all the classes and the workshops are happening under the one tent.
Okay.
So, and it's small, you know, it's not like being at Satnam Fest or at Solstice where you need a mat to get from one thing to the other. You're just right there. you know, lunch is a stone's throw away.
Cool. That sounds like fun.
Nice, really relaxing day of yoga and chanting and of community in a really beautiful
high-vibrational space. So how do people get there? Like how far away do people come? Where are the places that people are coming from, do you think?
I feel like it's mostly kind of in the New England area. I don't know. I mean, people come to the ashram from all over the place. I mean, there's people who come from overseas to go to some of the courses that are held there, like the Voice of the Soul course and stuff. For the festival, you know, it's like kind of, it's harvest time. It's like the Kundalini version of the harvest festival, I guess. And, people are coming, you know, probably a couple hours drive on average to attend.
Cool.
You're coming from far. You're coming from the West Coast, so.
I am. And I have a really great percussionist coming with me that I'm excited about. So my friend Prem Vidu, who is a masterful percussionist, is flying in to be there.
Wonderful.
Which is exciting. And, yeah. And so he'll be doing, I have a workshop the next day. So we're doing the kirtan on Saturday and then a workshop on Sunday, workshops on sensitivity and emotions and all that fun stuff.
I will be attending this workshop.
Yes. Come.
This is one of the reasons music is so paramount in my life is the overflow of emotion that occurs all the time. It just end up in songs. So
Yeah. Well, and obviously I can relate. And so this was something that was weighing on me for a long time. And I just felt so blessed, you know, at the time that I discovered Kundalini yoga to have found Kundalini yoga, to have some sort of mechanism through which to release, you know, emotions. But then afterwards came to a place where I was ready to, you know, hear what Abraham had to say about emotions. And then through just being totally fascinated by this channeling thing, got to meet Gary, who channels Joshua, and then joined his team. And it's just like, I just can't even believe how blessed that journey has been. So it's going to be a mix of Kundalini yoga and then a little bit of the systems we use in the 8-week boot camp that he guides people through and that I am a coach for. So
yeah,
fun. I just did it in Sedona and it was pretty fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things another reason that I feel blessed to have connected with you is that whole phenomenon of the vessel and being the channel. I've had a lot of my own spontaneous occurrences and I have not taken workshops or courses. So I just, you know, I'm sort of now I'm channeling in the closet.
Well,
now
we're
I'm
all doing
in public
it.
And channeling in the closet.
Yeah, we're all doing it. It just for me what he brought to, or what the beings, you know, that he channels have taught me about it is just writing, you know, how to channel it through writing, how to get really clear on and focused in writing and answering your own questions basically through writing. Cause it, I think it helps. It's anyway, for me, it's helped me just hone in on what, you know, what thoughts exactly are in alignment with higher, you know, higher vibrations and what's coming in. It helps you be really clear, I think. Cause when it's just going on in your head, it's a lot and it's, it's not physical yet. So that's actually what they talk about is when you write it down, it becomes this physical thing. So, you know, that, and then the whole processing of limiting beliefs, has been super, super helpful for me. Something I like do kind of automatically now. Oh yeah. It's been an interesting few months for me. It's like since doing this, my world has sort of exploded a little bit in a great way.
Wonderful.
I was pretty resistant to the touring thing, and I probably would have said no to coming out to Millis if I hadn't been doing this. I don't know. I didn't see myself as someone who traveled to do music. Until pretty recently. So.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. But back to the whole conversation about like the touring and the traveling and stuff. So this has been, so then it's just been in the last year or two that you've really started to.
No, it's really just started. Well, yeah, I guess in the past year or two, I met Monica who plays guitar with me and also leads her own chants. And we do hear what we're going to do on the East Coast, which is share, you know, sing with each other's music. And so she's gotten me out of the closet, as it were, as a closeted musician or as a stay at home musician. And so that got me to perform more. And so that led me to feel like I could perform more. And then, doing the work with Gary has eliminated all of the decisions based in doubt. For me. So like, you know, someone invites me to somewhere and maybe my first thought is like, oh, that sounds so exciting. Oh, but how am I going to pay for that? And how am I going to do this with my kids? And how, you know, it's like, nope, we're not going to focus on that. You know, if this is something that's coming to you, it's for you. And if it sounds exciting, then it's for you. And therefore it will all work out. And so far that has been the case.
So, yay.
Yeah. So yeah. That's been really, really sweet. Oh, and you know what? I have a call that I'm supposed to be on right now, actually.
Whoops.
To talk to somebody about this. But I will get this up and running and I'll share our schedule. And do you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Oh yeah. Okay. So my number, no, I'm just joking. So
I already gave your address.
I did too,
but
I didn't get my postal code.
Oh, okay. Or my
I'm excited about my new address.
You did. If people pay attention, they'll be able to figure it out.
Yeah, well. oh my God, I was about to say something else.
What's your website?
Okay, my website is andyflax.com, but I'm more active on my Facebook music page, which is Andy Flax Music. And if you send me a message, I will respond. I don't post a lot, although I need to get better about that too. So all in a day's work.
Yes. Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this, Andy.
Yeah. Thanks for,
no fun.
For popping my podcast cherry. Had to go PG-13 just for the last second. Okay.
It's actually, I labeled this podcast as explicit just in case.
You know. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
just like I did it. Like when I tell people I've done a podcast with Sergen and it's been labeled explicit. It will actually probably make people tune in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
well, we are talking about taking your virginity. So.
Yeah. True. 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 How fun. Not boring. Okay. So cool. Enjoy your next call. And
thank you. I will see you soon.
Thanks for having me on my first. Yeah.
Thanks for being here. It was so fun. All right. Bye.
Bye.